flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
What a way to start an interview.
That was a great moment in show history with Nick Farabaugh, who, of course, is an IUP grad. Right, Limits?
No, Pitt.
Pitt.
Yes.
Well, why don't you just circle the wagons and name every university there is? He could be from Point Park. I may have known him.
Well, right now, the only place that matters with Nick is Alabama. He was writing for Penn Live for a story I read today, and it was very good, very comprehensive. How are you, Nick?
I'm doing very well, Joe, and yes, I am in Alabama, Mobile to be exact. Beautiful Mobile, 70 degrees and sun.
Great things to do down there in Mobile, Alabama. I'm sure you'll find the nightlife very intriguing.
I would imagine the breakfasts were pretty good down south.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Nick, you get a little biscuits. What do you got going for breakfast down there?
Yeah, there's some biscuits. You can get some grits. You have some really good southern cuisine. You can do barbecue for dinner. There's a lot of options.
You can do barbecue for breakfast down there.
Oh, yeah.
You can do it. You can do it. There is a entire restaurant about 5 minutes from where I'm staying that is literally BBQ breakfast. So it exists. And for dinner, you can do Little New Orleans stuff. It's basically like a Little New Orleans. It's great.
Man, I envy you. And you're doing great stuff there. Byline, Mobile, Alabama, Nick Farabaugh. Writing, first of all, tell us who's there representing the Steelers, and then tell us of all the guys you've seen, regardless of position, who's jumped out as if to say, I am a Pittsburgh Steeler, I can help that team. Give me one name after you tell us who's there representing the club.
Yeah, Joe, so Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan, Terrell Austin, Arthur Smith, Andy Weidel, and then a few other personnel members like Sheldon White and some scouts are down here. And the one guy that has definitely stuck out is Toledo's Darius Alexander, not just because he's a MAC defensive back lineman, because they obviously love MAC players, but he's explosive, can win from different alignments. He has dominated this week. He's very similar to Keanu Benton in how his rise was 2 years ago. I remember at the Senior Bowl 2 years ago watching Keanu Benton. He felt like a Steeler. Alexander feels a very similar way. The Steelers have focused heavily on defensive line, and he's probably been the best player here from that defensive line crop. And I think that's the guy that has stuck out immediately over these last 3 days.
So, you know, one of the things that happens, I think, Nick, when you're starting to look at positions like quarterback, you will find other guys who may not be on your radar but suddenly end up there. And that's all well and good. But Joe and I have been debating this plan of, or is whatever the plan may be for quarterback, because it's a hard thing to do to constantly chase one every year. I don't know that this is the right year to do it. And I ask you, if you had to draft one just because you felt the need to fill a quarterback room in like the second, third round, would you do it? Is it worth it? Or do you just wait till next year and try to figure it out in a year that should be more plentiful for quarterbacks?
Yeah, Bob, I think that was the interesting thing this week. You know, guys like Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart are probably going to be in that group. And they both really struggled. Milroe has had terrible accuracy. Dart looks kind of slow processing. And, I mean, the only other guy really in that kind of group to me is Will Howard. I wouldn't hate Will Howard. I think, you know, third, fourth round area, I think he's the one guy I would take a chance on if I were the Steelers. But it's a really, really bad class. My best way to describe this is if you need a quarterback this year, no, you don't. It is not a good group. There are guys that don't even really have great tools. You know, it's not like there's a Joe Milton in this class. I don't really think there is. There's no one with that rocket arm that you can take in the sixth round. So there's not even really like a toolsy guy that you can just throw the dart at late in the draft. And so I'm pretty out on this quarterback class. I think it's one of the poor quarterback classes. I don't think it's quite as bad as 2022 when the Steelers took Kenny Pickett. But it is a really, really, really bad class. And so if I were the Steelers, I would skip it and look towards 2026, which definitely is more plentiful.
But, Nick, it is considered a pretty good running backs class, and likely the Steelers will take one in the middle rounds.
You stole my topic limits. I was going to ask him about running backs next.
Would you like to proceed with your part of the question?
No, then? I just wanted to point that out. Is Genty going to be on the board when the Steelers pick, do we think, limits?
I think so.
Let's ask Nick, and then please finish your question.
Who has stood out the most to you at the running back spot in those middle-tier rounds that you think the Steelers could be identifying?
I want a breakaway back, Nick. A breakaway running back.
Well, there's one down here that I think you would like. His name's Bashaul Tootin. He's from Virginia Tech. He has some Willie Parker in his game. He is a real breakaway back. And today I was a little surprised they did backs on backers, which I always appreciate. I love me some backs on backers. But he really showed out in pass pro, and he can run. He can fly. He is the home run threat that can really break a game open down here. There's a few other guys. There's R.J. Harvey who can really run. He's a guy that probably is going to run 4.3s somewhere in there. Tootin's going to probably run the 4.3s too. There's another guy. His name's Devin Neal. He's not a burner quite like Tootin, but he is a all-around, do-it-all back. But he might run, you know, 4.5. So, if you're looking for a breakaway back, Bashaul Tootin's going to be that guy. I mean, there are so many, so many speed backs in the middle rounds, but I'm not sure any of them have the combination of patience, pass pro, and three-down ability quite like Tootin does. And so I would look at Bashaul Tootin and say, that could be your guy.
Bob, I'd like to see him go tooting up that tree, wouldn't you?
Tootin, that'll be the thing.
What a great running back, Nick, name that is.
So where does he figure, do you think, in the draft, Nick?
Bob went out of order and stole my question.
Again?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, you know, Tootin kind of fits in, I don't know, I would say probably in the fourth round. You know, okay. He's kind of probably going to go in that middle part of the fourth round. And so the Steelers, you know, I mean, they're right there in that middle part of the fourth round. So I think fourth round pick, Bashaul Tootin, definitely him and Jalen Warren would be a really good one-two. They're different enough from each other. And clearly, I think both are guys that could play three-down backs. So I think that's where he would kind of go.
Nick Tootin, writing for PennLive.com.
You called him Nick Tootin.
Did I really?
You did.
Hey, I laugh because I've done that kind of stuff, too. Makes for great radio, my man.
I did not, did I?
Yes, you did.
Nick Tootin.
Nick Tootin.
Yes.
I can't get your college right. I can't get your name right. I apologize, Nick. I mean, you know why I did that? Because these guys went out of order on me.
Did
you realize that?
You see, he doesn't take blame for anything in this show.
Bob jumped in early.
All right. We'll clear the deck. Joe Starkey is on. He will ask the next three questions, Nick Faribault.
No, I have a good one here. You reported today that Mike Tomlin seemed to pay close attention to a couple of players. Who were they? What positions? What schools?
Yeah, defensive line is where they seem to be really focusing. And Mike Tomlin himself is a lover of the defensive line class. It sure seems. It's certainly what I've been hearing down here. And I think there are two guys that I mentioned. One of them is Darius Alexander. I think he's a guy that they really, really like. I think the other guy is Deion Walker. This guy is absolutely massive. He's 6'7", 340. He really is a huge human being. Even if you're a former NFL player, I had a former NFL player stand right next to him yesterday and say, wow, that dude's big. And he moves like he's 6'5", 310. And so those movement skills are rare. And so those two guys are really sticking out. There's also Walter Nolan, the special tackle from Ole Miss. Very explosive, little bit under the dodge, tuck to 6'1". Really, really get off, go. And so those guys are the guys that I have really seen Mike Tomlin gravitating towards. They've watched some wide receivers, too, but not really a great receiver group down here. The one receiver is Jack Besh out of TCU, who is just a complete blocker. I mean, this guy is a complete football player. He is a really solid player. Former tight end can get in on a break. So those are the four guys I think that they paid particularly close attention to and are on Tomlin's radar.
Another observation you had, and I quote, the cornerback talent here is absurd. I like to hear that because I think the Steelers still need more help at that position. Yes?
Yeah. They really, really need cornerback help. And I'll tell you what, Joe, really talented guys down here. First round picking is Zaire Thomas, who's here at Florida State. He's had a really good week. Ole Miss's Trey Amos. He's probably a first-round pick. He's had a really good week. And then there's depth guys. There's slot guys. There's guys like Quincy Riley who will play in the slot. Jacob Parrish who will play in the slot. There's just so many players. And so this corner group is so deep. It is so diverse. So you have press man guys. You have zone guys. You have off-man guys. You have slot guys. You have all the different types of guys. This is like the perfect cornerback group if you're looking for someone in the slot. If you're looking for a press man guy, both things the Steelers need. I think it's a great, great, great group for them.
Yeah, that's an area clearly of need, but there are others. And I'm just wondering how much, you're there, you could talk about those players, but I want to ask you about how you would go about figuring out defensive age and moving on from it at times. You're going to have to do it eventually. Is now the time to do that? Or give me a priority list for you, Nick, about what you think their priority should be. And I'm going to take quarterback out of it. Even though it is a priority, I don't think there are answers, as we've discussed here, in quarterback in this draft. Now, you may draft one in the second, third, fourth round. Who knows? And that's a long shot. But besides quarterback, what would be your top priority?
You know, I think, obviously, receiver is a big one. But I think my top one would be building that defensive lineup. Cam Hayward's only going to be here so much longer. Larry Ogunjobi's going to be gone. You feel like you probably have one piece in Keanu Benton. But they need young D linemen. I think the best teams in this league are great in the trenches. I think you can see that. The Eagles, are a team they want to really work like. They want to work like the Detroit Lions. The big things for both those teams, great defensive lines, great offensive lines. I think the Steelers have already invested heavily, obviously, in the offensive line. I think it's now time for them to go into the defensive line. And so, there's a really deep crop here, not just at the Senior Bowl, but in the draft at defensive line. So I think that would be probably my number one priority. I think number two would be wide receiver. They need playmakers. And then I think three would probably be corn. I think they need corners here too. I don't think their corner talent is all there. They need a slot. They need an outside guy. So they need help there. So I think those would be the three. But I think building up the trenches is really smart for them. But I really, for the Steelers in general, I just think this year should be about building the team up. Because next year, as you mentioned, when you go back to quarterback, Bob, it's kind of building up the roster for a quarterback, giving him the perfect kind of scheme, giving him the perfect fit for that quarterback. And so what you're trying to do is give that rookie quarterback the most ideal circumstances. And I think all of those three things I said help that guy when they eventually come in.
Right, and I think that's the whole the way it should go.
Oh,
and
my God, now
Joe
Bob
again.
Doubled up and stole your last question.
Because it was a follow-up to my question.
This is incredible.
What I'm
limits.
Saying is, instead of trying to solve this in 1 year, you can't do that. This has to be a multi-year process if you're going to do it the right way, I think. And load up on things you need so that when that ultimately the guy you determine is your franchise quarterback comes in, he's going to have that cushion so that you don't have glaring needs. And he can move right in and just, hopefully pick up quickly. That's all. Sorry, I defer back to you, and I'll go now. To the bathroom.
Limits was looking forward. Nick only has time for one more question. He was just about to talk when you jumped in.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. You
I
made
apologize.
A great point. Limits, go ahead.
Nick, you know, every year it seems like Mike Tomlin, there's someone that he loves so much out of the Senior Bowl, at the Combine. If Mike Tomlin was sending the eyeball emoji to Omar Khan and the rest of the Steelers executives, who would be the top guy that would be this year, or even top two or three?
Yeah, I'll give you two guys I think that make a lot of sense. Neither of them are here. It's Michigan defensive lineman Kenneth Grant. He's about, I don't know, 6'5", 330. He's a real kind of explosive nose tackle-ish that can play out. I think that he's a guy that they would really love. He was even yesterday talking to the Michigan defensive line coach for about 30 minutes, and I think that is a little bit of an interesting sign. And I think the second one is Emeka Egbuka. I think they love Egbuka. You know, he's a guy that only really plays in the slot, but he can definitely play outside. Just a solid player, man. He blocks. He's got great hands. He can run a full route tree. He runs really good routes. He's just a solid high-floor football player. I just don't think he has much risk in Emeka Egbuka. I think he's pretty similar to a guy like Jackson Smith and Jigba. He's going to be a pretty good wide receiver, too. You know, Smith and Jigba kind of broke out this year. Egbuka feels like a guy that's just so safe as a prospect. And he fills in really well at Arthur Smith's scheme, you know, the blocking, the effort. He's kind of the anti-Steelers wide receiver. You know, he's not going to bring drama. He's not going to be high maintenance. He's going to be low maintenance. So I think he's the type of guy that they will like to kind of course correct with at wide receiver. And so those are the two guys that I would really kind of circle if you're looking at them.
Nick, great stuff. We'll be following along here. Thanks for taking the time. I know you got to run. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Nick.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
What a nice man he is, Bob. Huh?
Nick Tootin. Yes, he's wonderful.
Nick Tootin. I can't believe that happened, Limits, and it was Bob's fault. That's the real irony.
It's always my fault, and that's fine. Bring it on. I'll take full responsibility for every mistake that's made.
I'll take full responsibility.
Do you want them to draft Tootin? I do.
After hearing that, yeah.
Just for the name?
If he's a home run threat, they can certainly use it. Although I think I'm going to say Willie Parker. Jalen Warren is that guy, too. I think he can do that. But you got to have a lot more in that backfield than they have right now. And I say that with all due respect to Najee Harris. I think he is what he is. He's a responsible runner who could book 1,000 yards every year. But they need a different look, I think, back there. Somebody good at swing passes who can, you know, turn, you know, little things into big things, that kind of thing.
Let me ask you a question, Bob. Speaking of running backs, do you think – I have to laugh because I hear people talking about Saquon. I was watching, I think it was on ESPN the other day, where they're all like, do you think this turns the tide with running backs? And see, now, do people realize how stupid they are about running backs and how much they do for a team? It's Saquon Barkley, for God's sakes. There's one of those in the world. The fact remains that you can find running backs pretty much everywhere, in the draft, after the draft, low-key in free agency. If you can get a Saquon Barkley or a Derrick Henry, that's great. Most of the rest of them are pretty much the same. Jameer Gibbs is another
guy. Gibbs is another one, first-round pick.
Yeah, he's another one. So let me ask you.
They also think Bijan Robinson is in that category. We haven't seen that yet.
Not for me, he's not. So if Genty happened to be on the board when the Steelers picked, would either one of you guys draft him, Bob?
Depends on the round and depends on
what. Well, it's going to be first round. I mean, they're talking about him going in top 10, top 15, but because he's a running back and because the Steelers are on the edge of that at 21.
No. I have to go wide receiver. I'm going to do that first and foremost.
Okay.
I know what Nick said about defensive line. That has to be addressed, certainly. But you have to start allocating more and more to this offense.
Would you take him, Limits?
No, not in the first round. I would not.
So he's there at 21 and you'd let him go past?
No, I don't want to say it's learning your lesson from Najee Harris and drafting a first-round running back, but there are so many bigger needs on this team. And, I mean, how much did we hammer
are
home?
Are there if you could get a star? I mean, you're talking about Justin Fields and doubling and tripling down on a running offense. How many bigger needs do you have than a great running back?
Wide receiver is a much bigger need, especially if you're trading.
If you have Justin Fields, if you're trading Pickens, you're talking about, right?
No,
if you keep Pickens, you'd take a wide receiver in the first round.
I think you need wide receivers. Yes, they went through most of the season without
a
number two.
Bird follicles, Bob. Not me.
That's how I agree. Wide receiver is a much bigger concern.
So if they determine they're keeping Pickens, you would take a wide receiver in the first round. I would actually take a defensive lineman first and far above anything else.
He'd have to be Jalen Carter-esque. You know, he'd have to be somebody like that.
See, I think I can find receivers, as the Steelers have, beyond the first round.
Yeah, but they've also missed on some recently, too. Guys,
no,
who've
you
been
miss
here
on everything, Bob.
No, I know, but...
I'm going D-line. But if that running back is available, if that guy slips to 21, I don't think I could look myself in the mirror that night, Bob, if I didn't draft him.
Well, then, I don't know. I'm not looking at another running back in the first round. Maybe I've been soured by what's gone on, unless you have a guaranteed pick there. And listen, I saw the people in Atlanta. We did a preseason game and did Bijan Robinson's first. Everyone down there said the guy's going to be exactly like a difference maker. You'll see 1,500 to 1,700 yards. Right? I haven't seen that. I don't know if it's the system.
What about this idea that the rise of Saquon has other teams thinking about running backs? To me, that's just ridiculous.
Again, you have to be in a different level.
Yeah, he's one of one.
Right. And, you know, if you find one, if you believe that, go ahead. And I'm not at all dissing the importance. You're going to run the football. They touch the ball more than anyone else on the football field, generally.
Yeah, I just don't.
Short of the quarterback. They're always involved.
Right. I mean, if I can get a guy I think is a star, like Genty, and I don't think he's Saquon Barkley, but if I can get a star, then I'm taking one in the first round. Do you blame the Lions for taking Gibbs where they took him?
Originally, I did, and I was wrong about that. He's had a major impact on them. I just thought they needed other things, but they found other things in other parts of their draft, and that trade for Jared Goff certainly helped them. They got a lot of stuff from that. Three draft picks, three other players, and a quarterback that's not on the same level maybe as Matthew Stafford, but a very good quarterback. So
I'd really think about that. The other guy I'd think about is Tyler Warren, and I don't care if I have a tight end already.
There's nothing wrong with
that guy's
tight end.
That guy is a star.
Right.
Do you agree with that, Limits?
Fully agree. If Warren's there, you take him. No doubt about it. You run it to the podium.
I mean, I don't think he will be.
No.
But if for some reason he was, that's a star. Bob, have you seen some of these prop bets? Can bet on whether Travis Kelce will propose to Taylor Swift?
Yeah, I saw that one. Now, wasn't that last year's prop bet, too?
Yes.
It was.
It didn't happen.
Do you think it'll happen this year?
If they lose, too? Or just
no,
only if they win?
No, it's not going to happen if they lose.
Why not?
That would be weird.
Why? Do you love her or not?
Bob, listen to this. Next year's Super Bowl odds. You guys give me the four favorites on this list. I don't know how to read this.
Kansas City.
I don't know how
Detroit,
to read this. No, I can't
Baltimore,
do it now. Kansas City, Detroit.
And Buffalo. I didn't go for the same.
Probably Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's Chiefs, Eagles, Lions, Bills, Ravens, Commanders. 1, 2, 3, 4. Those are your top six. Where do you think the Steelers are? Top 10 or no?
No.
No.
Top between 15 and 20?
I think they're on here at like 12 or 13. I can't read this thing. That's my problem. I don't know how to read odds. I'm very bad at that, Bob.
Yeah, especially when they get 9 to 5, you know, working 9 to 5, 5 to 2, 7 to 2, whatever they are, it gets a little bit concerning.
I'm going to tell you right now that I think the Eagles are going to win this game, and I think Saquon Barkley on his birthday is going to be the MVP. I think the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl, and we're all going to rejoice as a nation because the Chiefs have lost.
I don't think so. Well, I hope so, but I don't think so. I'm with you. I have a little bit of the fatigue that Kansas City has provided. But I also think the quarterback advantage is a big one. I like Jalen Hurts, but I do not like him as much as Patrick Mahomes. And some of the things he does late in games, you know, the last time they played 2 years ago was a really interesting high-scoring one-possession game that went 38-35. And those two teams since then have made 32 and 35 respective changes to their roster. You know, that's what you have to do in today's age and be good with it.
Yeah.
And they have.
Well, for all the alleged unpredictability of the NFL, anybody who said Chiefs Eagles at the beginning of the year wouldn't have been going crazy there, Bob. They had two of the top four odds in the NFL. It was Kansas City, San Francisco, Baltimore, Philly, and Detroit. Those are your top five favorites.
San Francisco was the only one that just fell apart.
Because they got destroyed by injury.
Tons of injury. That's the thing about betting. You don't know how it's going to go.
And then it was Bengals. Believe it or not, the Bengals had the 6th best odds.
A lot of people here thought they'd win the division.
I did. Then you go Bills, Packers, Texans. The Steelers were way down there, as you would expect, in the middle of the league, Bob. Who do you think's going to play in next year's Super Bowl limits, if you had to bet right now?
Detroit and Buffalo.
Wouldn't that be great, Bob?
I like Detroit and Buffalo. That would be fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Detroit and Buffalo, too. I agree with him.
I wouldn't be surprised if Houston gets it back together and adds some things and kind of responds back. I don't think they were a legitimate playoff team. They played bad division.
They won a playoff game.
I understand. They gave the Chiefs all they could handle
and the refs.
I still didn't think of them as a Super Bowl contending team this year based on their regular season.
I agree with that. I do think they gave the refs all they could handle in Kansas City that day, right?
Yes.
Man, am I sick over this limits.
The Chiefs and Buffalo would heal the nation. Or Buffalo and the Detroit would heal the nation.
Andy Reid poo-pooed. Of course he did. Yeah, I wouldn't expect him to agree with it. This idea that the refs are on the Chiefs' side, Bob. Did you see that interview?
No.
I think it was with McAfee.
And he said what? That he doesn't believe the refs are...
Yeah, of course. I mean, he gave the obvious answer.
Yeah, I think it's been lopsided, for sure. But I'm going to fall short of saying that that's some sort of conspiracy that everyone wants the Chiefs to lose. Or win, I mean. Because of the Taylor Swift thing. Yeah, that's too much conspiracy for me.
All right. We only have a half hour left of you, Bob.
Yes.
Which feels very sad at this point. You have TV commitments later in the day?
Yes, and you want to get rid of me, I can tell. The way you started today, you were on me, riding me like a pony.
No, you came in and you frightened Tyler Kennedy because you were raging about headphones, the blinds.
I couldn't find the blinds. Yeah. They were, tricky.
I thought you scared Tyler.
I don't think I could scare Tyler. He's a hockey player.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I love you. I love you.
Like on trolls or whatever, people that just sit behind a computer in their mom's basement.
You idiot.
It was a joke.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
Shall I call you Ron, Dr. Dick? What should we go with here?
You can call me Ron.
You know what that means, Bob? It's time for the latest edition of the Limitless Express. Hop on board. What do we got, big boy?
Let's do it for January 30th. Happy February tomorrow. Nick Sirianni says that he's well aware of the rule that could have allowed the referees to award the Eagles a touchdown in the NFC Championship game and was discussing it with the officials on the sideline. How about that? And there's also one more day in January. February begins on Saturday, as I correct myself.
Bob, would you like to comment on that?
I'm just, as I said yesterday, I'm not a big fan of the tush-push, so for me, I'd rather just get it out of the game altogether.
Get what out of the game altogether?
Aren't you talking about jumping when...
Yeah, the tush-push.
Yeah, the
tush-push. Sirianni knew
that... He knew that he could cost himself a touchdown by keep jumping over, If you do that strategy...
Did you see Belichick said that the Steelers were almost guilty of this once? He said he was on Inside the NFL... They were talking about this idea of just awarding a team a touchdown for whatever, like making a mockery of the game or something. He said, I learned that from a trick your Steelers used to pull, talking to, I don't know who he was talking to when he says your Steelers, maybe Ryan Clark. Back when those PATs were on the 2-yard line, score tied, end of game, PAT to win, and the corner would jump offside and go block it, be offsides by 2 yards, and now it's kind of in the head of the kicking team, what's going on here? And they do it again, Belichick said, and again. They'd try to beat the count until it was kicked or they blocked it and they weren't offsides. And he said, there was a judgment by the referee. If you do this again, we're just going to make the extra point good because they're kicking from the 1-inch line. That's what Belichick said. I wasn't aware of that, Bob. Were you that the refs told them that?
No, I didn't know that at all.
Holy horse
Belichick
follicles.
Has been very good. He was on Sirius Radio yesterday. He said he thinks it's a player's award and they should change the name of the Lombardi Trophy to the Brady Trophy.
Why don't we talk about that in a minute? He said to Ryan Clark, I don't want to name names, but the Steelers did it. How about that? You didn't know that limit, did you?
No, I did not. That's pretty fascinating.
Do you want to go to Bob's topic now about the Tom Brady trophy?
I would love to.
Please
Bob?
Explain what happened,
no,
Bob.
He was just talking about, I think he was on with Jim Gray, and they were going back and forth about how important the players are. And he, surprisingly to me, kind of took all the emphasis off of himself. He said, I don't care what coach you are, you got to have quarterbacks, specifically number one, but good players. Rattled through his players, and then he was pressed about the trophy name. He said, well, if it's a player's award, then it should be named after a player. All due respect to Lombardi, but he should call it the Tom Brady Award because he won more of these than anyone.
See, when I heard this yesterday, it wasn't like Belichick went on the air with some big idea to make
no,
it the Tom
it was
Brady
part of
trophy.
A conversation.
A conversation where Somebody said to him, well, maybe you should name it after this guy. And then Belichick, I thought laughingly and half jokingly said, well, then call it the Tom Brady Award. He's
maybe
the guy
he
that
was.
Won it 7 times. That's how I took it. I thought it was taken out of context, Bob, by people. But
like
it,
me.
But, well, maybe by you too. But you're going to take the name of the award away from Vince Lombardi?
No, you're not.
I don't think Belichick was
His point
serious.
Was that the players, I think he, you know, in a kind of a refreshing moment, he acknowledged that he wouldn't be the coach he was without guys like Tom Brady and the rest of the people.
Yeah.
You know, so that normally, you know, coaches don't go that far. He did. So I thought that was very interesting.
So after he said that, after Belichick said it's basically a player's game, I don't go out there and kick. That was right. Vinatieri in the snow, blah, blah, blah. It's important to note that Jim Gray then jumped in and said, well, yeah, but they don't name it the Bart Starr Trophy. It's the Lombardi Trophy. And to that, Belichick said, well, maybe they should name it the Brady Trophy. He won 7 of them. I took it more as a joke. Silly
Probably.
Me.
I did too. More of a joke than anything. And they're not going to realistically do that. They're going to never rename the trophy.
And the ownership group won't fly.
If you were going to name it after a player, however, would it be Brady, the Tom Brady Trophy? Would that make sense, Bob?
I guess. I mean, nobody's won more than he's won.
Soon it might be the Patrick Mahomes Trophy.
It could be. But you don't want to get into that thing and start changing names based on who does better than whom, right? Every year somebody comes along.
Yeah, I mean, Lombardi won the first two. He's a legend. He ushered in the Super Bowl era,
right,
and they named the trophy after him.
Exactly. There's a lot to do that. But I found that interesting that I found him more kind of laid back and more willing to, you know, get into conversations that normally as a coach you'd never see him get into. You knew there was more to Bill Belichick than what you saw in those weekly press conferences. So I see a relaxed guy now who's a totally different personality than he was as a coach.
Now, if we're going to rename a trophy in sports, how about the Larry O'Brien Trophy for winning the NBA title? Limits, you don't even know who Larry O'Brien was, do you?
No. I know the trophy's named that. Have not really researched Larry O'Brien other than he was in an early basketball times.
Bob, if I walked into an NBA arena and took 15,000, you know, handed 15,000 people a sheet of paper, do you know who Larry O'Brien was or no? 14,999 would say no. Why did they name a trophy after a commissioner? That's a trophy that should be named. Before he was commissioner of the NBA, from 75 to 84, which as I recall, I don't know that those were the golden days of the NBA. He was the United States Postmaster General under LBJ. So why is this trophy named after him? This should clearly be either the Bill Russell
Award
or
yes.
the Michael Jordan Award.
Well, I would go with Bill Russell.
Then name it the Bill Russell Award.
You're going to see how many did he win? 11 of them? I mean, he just...
It should be the Bill Russell Trophy. Yeah.
Well, the MVP is named after Bill Russell.
Right, then name it the Michael Jordan Trophy.
I agree. The Bill Russell MVP Trophy, and then they should name it the Jordan... The Michael Jordan
Then name it the
trophy.
Red Auerbach Award.
Why not the Larry Bird Award?
Because he only won it a couple times and Magic Johnson beat him out.
Might end up being the LeBron Award at some point.
No, I mean, I think honestly, it shouldn't be named after a guy that nobody knows what he did and he was only a commissioner. I mean, come on. Who cares that he was commissioner?
Yeah, Bob? I don't know. That was at a time when they probably felt, oh, we got to have an award, let's name it. He's the commissioner. We'll give it that. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. And most people today have no idea who he is.
Then you have the Stanley Cup. And then you have, that was named after Lord Stanley in case
I like that one. Yeah. To me, that's still the best trophy out there. I love that trophy.
Oh, by far. Yeah. They don't take the Larry O'Brien trophy on tour during the offseason, do they?
No.
They don't drink beer out of that thing. By far, though, I think second to the Stanley Cup, the greatest award, like trophy in sports, is the Pop-Tarts Bowl because it has an actual toaster in it. Did you see that thing, Bob?
I laughed when I saw that, yeah.
Did you see it, Limits?
Of course. You can legitimately make toast or Pop-Tarts in the morning
or
with
waffles.
Your Pop-Tart trophy.
Or waffles, or I think. Waffles.
Just don't pour any syrup into the nice little trophy.
Bob smelled like syrup last week. Everybody was sniffing him in the office.
Oh, I remember. And you'll hear the promo coming out very soon that has that audio.
What?
Really?
Yeah, it's a promo we made.
Can I hear it first so I can tell you I want to do away with it?
Sure, Bob.
Do you have it now?
I actually do. I clipped it up today.
Oh, wow.
You will give me 30 seconds and I will pull it here.
See,
they should name it the Bob Pompeiani Trophy. Instead
that's
of
ridiculous.
The Whitfield football team should get the Bob Pompeiani Trophy. Do you agree?
No.
Here is our newest promo for Bob.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. The Bob and Joe Show, weekdays 10 to 2.
I had a cologne that I am very proud of. I think it smells good, and everybody says I smell like pancake. It's not a pancake.
He does. He smells like syrup. Did you sniff him on the way by?
Yeah, I sniffed him.
I have never been sniffed this much before in my life.
Can you like really? Like I like it.
It's called House of Pancake. He does smell like syrup. Everybody was, it was like a dog walking, and everybody was sniffing him. It was unbelievable.
I miss those days.
Joe Show weekdays 10 to 2 on Bob. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
You like that, Bob?
That's a keeper. House of Pancake.
Nothing's off limits when you come into this room, is that?
That's because we have Limits sitting right in there.
Nothing's off limits.
Limitless.
Was it Tyler who said, I sniffed him?
Yes.
That was great. What's next, Limits?
All right. A story from Pro Football Talk says that there might be a complication to a potential Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson reunion. Pro Football Talk had a story that came out a couple of years ago. It was a tidbit in early 2023 that Russell Wilson reportedly tried to get Pete Carroll fired by the Seahawks before Wilson was traded to the Broncos in 2022. But Wilson, through a lawyer, called the story entirely fabricated. But it's still a part of their history. Could that be something that holds up a potential reunion in Vegas, Joe?
Hold on a second here.
I apologize. Tom Brady has a lot of say in this, apparently, which is interesting to me because it's like a conflict where he is, what he's doing. And it seemed to me that, what? You said, hold on.
Yes.
I was going to give you some time to do what you're doing.
All hell's broken loose
over here.
Don't
we have a communication here?
There's a Tanya Harding video out. Have you seen this, Bob?
I mentioned her earlier, didn't I?
Yes.
Is it fake or am I just going to be sucked into another one of an AI?
Bob got sucked into an AI hoax today.
And the crazy thing about the Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen pictures, they're sitting on like a little sandbank and smiling.
Right, I didn't look that deep into it. I just saw them on vacation. They look real to me, so go ahead.
It's like an engagement photo.
She says, hi, everyone. She's trending. I can't believe that you mentioned her today, and now I see she's trending.
What does she look like? I haven't seen her in
Here's
how many
thing,
years.
And I put this out here first. I look horrible. I'm aging like the Wicked Witch of the West. But Bob, she looks like she's 110 years old. It's unbelievable.
She's gone through a lot of stress, you know.
I know she has. I told you about the movie, I, Tanya. It's a great movie. She says, hi, everyone. I finally figured out how to make an account on here. I'm very excited to reconnect with you all. And there she is talking. And it's unbelievable. It really is. All these years later.
Does Nancy Kerrigan follow her?
I don't know. I don't know. But there she is. Okay, next. What were we talking about?
No thoughts on potential Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll complications?
Well, I do remember that now that you bring it up. I remember that there was an issue where people thought he tried to get him fired, like you mentioned. I don't think that would sit well with the head coach, would it?
Do you think that that would hold up a potential? I mean, it seems like they've made peace about all of it.
Does it? I don't know about
that. I don't know
that.
About that either. Time may have softened
it. Didn't
they
get rid of Russell Wilson in Seattle?
They did, but I'm talking about like currently as it's constructed. I think it was Adam Schefter went on and said that their relationship is now better than what it was. So did time heal all wounds?
I guess time can soften. I don't know about healing.
I don't think it did. No.
All right, next up. Liam Cohen, Joe, we were talking about this before. He was introduced as the new Jacksonville Jaguars head coach, the former OC of Tampa Bay, and he is getting criticized for saying this.
Duval.
What was he saying?
That's Duval County. That's Duval. Where they play. And everyone who's down there is proud of
like
Duval.
This. I like this. Did you guys not?
I did, but I mean, it's the way that he said it that was kind of strange.
Duval.
Like he's questioning.
Was. I mean, it made social media waves, Bob. Well, I like an original character.
I do. Dan Campbell was original when he had kneecaps going everywhere.
Do we have that one? The original
so
kneecap?
That's far less than what Dan Campbell did. We all said, oh my goodness, he's going to.
Do you remember Sirianni's opening news conference?
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't complete a sentence.
No,
it was like, how is this guy?
Some people win press conferences, some right. people don't, but I would never put too much into that.
Me neither. I mean, unless it's...
For that reason, Sirianni.
Who's the guy who got hired at Pitt, who was basically fired 2 days after his news conference?
Oh, the... Michael Haywood.
Yeah. That one, that was a bad opening, and you got a bad feeling, and it turned out real badly, like
it didn't take
48
long.
Hours later. You have it, Limits?
Allegheny County. Could you imagine somebody saying that? Allegheny!
412, baby.
I like this guy. I think he's in a really bad place, though. And I don't think he's going to win there. Do you, Bob?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about him. I know that their quarterback is in place. He is the key. He has to play much better than he's played. But he has all the abilities, I think, to be a franchise quarterback. They took him one overall for a reason. He's not necessarily lived up to that. So if he can get him going in the right direction, yes.
One more and then Bob has to go.
Dean Blandino, the former NFL senior VP of officiating, in the news again. He says that his brother, Dean's brother, believes the NFL is rigged and that he also believes that Dean signed an NDA preventing him from revealing it. What?
Nothing would surprise me in this world as it currently exists. I mean, we had Tim Donaghy basically admit. Didn't he admit in the end to fixing that Lakers-Sacramento game?
Oh, yeah. That was an interesting documentary.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
I mean,
yeah,
I'm,
he did.
Nothing would ever surprise me, and I don't think that that's true. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. However, if I'm trying to discourage somebody from being a conspiracy theorist, I'd have a real hard time based on the AFC title game and the game before that against the Texans. With everybody on high alert for both games, and especially the AFC title game, on high alert, you would think within NFL circles that, hey, a lot of people think we're basically fixing things for the Chiefs. Let's make sure we're on the up and up and call this thing straight. You saw what happened, Bob. You saw what happened in both those games. So
yes,
I'd have a hard time making a case against it, even though I don't believe it.
I don't believe it. But the one thing was the fourth down spot. That should never happen. You know, that's one of those things that should be very easy to determine quickly, and it wasn't. And it had lasting implications on that game.
Yeah, so did the ball that hit the turf that was ruled
a catch.
That's
another one. I couldn't believe that either. I mean, when you see it, they say, well, it didn't move. It doesn't matter. If it hits the ground is helping you. I don't know. I just want to see a good game. If that's it, that's it. I'm not necessarily totally interested in this matchup. In terms of, like, do I care about it? Yeah, I just want to see a good game. Do you? Do you have one way or the other you're thinking? I know what you think about Kansas City, so
no,
I
want to see anyone on earth beat the Chiefs. My daughter-in-law is from Philly and is a gigantic Eagles fan. I'm Philly all the way in this game, Bob. And I think most of America is, too.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Do you, Limits?
Yeah, as much as I don't want to root for Philly, I will.
My wife ordered an Eagles sweatshirt for herself, Bob. She's going to wear it for the game and then give it to our daughter-in-law. How do you like that?
That's good.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a re-gift to a different level of re-gifting. If you're going to wear it.
You might as well keep it. Is that what you're saying?
Keep it, yeah.
Did you wear the scarf that you re-gifted me, Joe?
No, and I notice you haven't worn the Moon Golf Club jacket ever that I
which I supports my you. Which supports my theory that this gift giving can get a little out of hand.
Do you wear it at all?
Well, the reason why I haven't worn it yet is because that's a thinner jacket, and the jackets that I typically wear right now are a lot thicker.
That's fair, Bob. I'll accept that answer.
I don't know. We'll see. I haven't seen anything yet. And there's nothing worse than buying a gift for someone and it's discarded and you wasted the money. They could pretend they like it when they really don't.
I know.
If I gave you truth serum, Joe, would you say you liked the gift from Austin?
It's unbelievable.
Is it?
You saw it.
So
it was the Buffalo Bills.